Episode 280, January 16th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Which one of these names does not fit Joe Robinson? Aaron Rodgers, Usain Bolt, Bryce Harper, and Robbie Robinson.
Let me think. Well, which doesn't three of them are white. I'll go with Robbie Robinson.
The answer is Bryce Harper, because he's the only one that's not the best in the world at something. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the world, Usain Bolt sprinter, and Robbie Robinson is the best in the world at bachelor fantasy games.
No, that's not true, because I don't even have all of them right. There's a lot of people that have 100% right.
And you suck at taking a compliment.
But it also, it's over time. I mean, Robbie is consistently and constantly good at this year after year.
Yes.
Yeah, there might be somebody killing it, Robbie, but they might be cheating, and have they done it over multiple fantasy leagues?
We're in this fantasy league, bachelor fantasy league. I'm enjoying it. Tawana's loving it. She's in second place.
On my heels.
She's right on your heels, but we're 2 weeks in. Robbie's in the lead, but let's just take you back to week one. There's 30 women. That's how we start with, correct?
Yes, it was exactly 30 women to start.
So we know very little about them. You know, their bios are on the website. Obviously, you can see what they look like. But you can't really get a good grasp or feel for who they are. And one of the questions is the tough question, the big money question, is which one will get the first impression rose? Because every year, you know, he meets these women. And then at the end of this little get-together, just from talking to them, he selects one that he gave him the best first impression. And you're supposed to pick out of 30. And the woman who ended up getting this she went against two obvious things. She was black. This guy's some white guy from Wisconsin. Black women rarely do well on their show. We've talked about that. And I would say that she is, you know, definitely not one of the 10 hottest. If anything, she's in the bottom third of attractiveness. But
did she look like the lady that sent Gramps that picture last week?
She did not look like that. Don't get me wrong. I find her to be an attractive woman. But if you're just looking at her picture, I'm guessing that she would be in the bottom half of most people just going by picture. Well, Robbie picked her, and she was the one. I mean, it's a 1 in 30 chance. But really, if you factor in looks and the white-black thing, it's probably, I don't know, a 1% chance or something. And, of course, Robbie gets it.
I buy it.
Robbie, what was your
theory
thinking
about the next bachelorette being black?
Yeah, but there's also multiple black women on there. What made you choose her?
She was the most attractive, and she seemed to have the most going on.
Right.
Okay. Well, there's one as an NBA dancer. I think she's more attractive.
Nope, okay. Not to Robbie. No.
This girl's a lawyer. I mean, she has a better personality. She's smarter, obviously.
Yeah, but Robbie didn't know that. Well, Robbie probably did know that, yeah. But he shouldn't have known it.
Well, attorney, you're gonna assume that she's smart. But here he is, just dominating right off the bat.
Well, hold on. Scott Apple's an attorney. Let's be serious. By the way, real quick, I don't want to derail this, but Scott Apple not only didn't know who Robert De Niro was, but then when I started naming the movies that he'd been in, he's like, hadn't seen it. Godfather. Well, one more thing, and then we'll go back to The Bachelor. Robbie, you remember on the Larry Sanders Show when Jeffrey Tambor is talking to Bruno Kirby, and he's like, I've never seen any of your movies. And Bruno Kirby goes, I was in The Godfather. He goes, you were in The Godfather? He goes, well, Godfather 2. He goes, I didn't see that one. Now, that's a joke that someone wrote, which is hilarious, by the way. But Scott Apple said the exact same thing. He said the exact same thing, which was a joke written for the Larry Sanders Show. I go, he was in The Godfather 2. He goes, I didn't see that one. Literally watched The Godfather 1. Said, nah, I got it at this point. Didn't watch The Godfather 2. Anyway, sorry. Back to The Bachelor.
Well, no, I want to stay on that real quick because Katie says, this is a friend of hers at work, right?
Correct.
That someone rivals Scott in their lack of music knowledge. And what was the quote? She said she tried to name the Beatles and she named who?
One was
Paul McCartney. That was fine.
two were great. They said name a Beatle. She actually said, I know two. Paul McCartney and John Legend, which is hard to get John Legend. Rob's like, John Legend's a 35-year-old black man. How are you confusing? Anyway, whatever. And then the other thing is they said, name an Elvis song, and she said Doghouse, combining Hound Dog and Jailhouse Rock.
So she thinks that we should have a Scott versus whatever this girl's name is contest. That sounds like a good wrinkle on the Scott Apple music quiz, because I do feel like, you know, there's more. We could drain that well a little more. There's more in there.
Hey, I'm fucking with Scott Apple right now because he's building a lightsaber.
What?
And yeah, he's building a lightsaber. And every day he comes in and shows me the progress. He's like, hey, take a look at this. So I showed it to a friend of the show, Tommy Cimbazzo. And I'm like, hey, what can I say to fuck with him, right? So let me just, if I can real quick, try to read some of this stuff. He started screwing with Scott about whatever he's using. Give me a second here. Tommy Sabato, here we go. First thing he said was, correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't look like it's made of stainless steel. It looks like cold rolled steel, right? So he responds and he goes, well, if it's not stainless, then hand oils are going to make it rust, but I guess it's a prototype, so it looks great. So he knows it's not a prototype. He's not going to build 1,000 of these. This is what it is.
Right.
So, of course, then Scott says, no, I'm putting hand wax on it. I don't know what that is. Paste wax, whatever. And then I said, tell him that it's a brushed finish, so it's going to be near impossible to keep it from rusting through. Of course, Scott's losing his mind. I'm just fucking.
So he's, God, what a nerd. Jesus. Is that, well, by the way, quick. But John Legend instead of John Lennon, I get that the names are similar, but that might be is the worst one we've ever heard.
Well, no. I mean, if you probably showed a picture of John Legend and said, is this guy in the Beatles? She'd probably say no. You know, Paul McCartney. So she got close. She's, you know what I mean? Scott. Well, of course, when I said she thinks Paul McCartney is in the Beatles, Scott's like, oh, well, he is. So he didn't know either. You know, he thought the same thing. But you're right about the lightsaber. Excuse me. It's the nerdiest thing that you can build. But he is treating it like he's building his son's crib. You know what I mean? He is treating this with the ultimate respect. But he's got to build two.
No, why would build, I remember that?
How are you going to fight somebody?
Well, I don't. What do you mean? You're not going to fight anybody. You can just get a paper towel roll. I mean, what?
No,
what does it do? It doesn't really hurt you.
He wants to battle someone with this.
How? So what does that mean?
Well, he wants it to have, you know, light emitting from it, you know, and then he wants when it strikes another lightsaber, it makes the noise that a lightsaber would make.
Okay, like that sounds cool, but is that possible?
I mean, so far he's only got a rusty handle, so I don't know what he's going to be able to do.
Is it supposed to be there's actually no sword part of it? It's just going to be light? Like an actual
I don't think it's real... I don't believe it's the physics are we understand physics well enough to be able to make it emit light only up to a certain distance. So I think he'll have to have it in some sort of housing or casing, right?
Well, then I'm not impressed.
You mean you want him to build the
yes.
actual, you know, where it just goes up about 3 feet out of the base, stops there.
Because that's
there,
the only way that it's cool. If it has that, it's awesome. And if it doesn't, it's nothing to me, right?
It can't have it, so.
Okay, but that's the only way to make it cool that you built it.
I mean, I think it's not going to be cool regardless.
Right? No, if it actually did the real light thing, that would be badass. That would be
cool. No, yes, but he'd win the Nobel Prize. Yeah, okay, it'd be cool if he won that.
Really,
yes,
he'd win the Nobel Prize for making a light saver or saber.
If bent light in a manner that it's never been bent before, yeah, he'd win something. Yeah.
Okay. I hope he does.
I don't think that's his goal.
I don't think so either.
And I don't think he has the millions of dollars in funding that it would take to do that.
So Robbie's winning the Bachelor thing. Tawanda is right on your heels. She's very into this. But I do think, I'm guessing this is popular, but I feel like pretty much every reality show should be doing this, right? They should have a fantasy league for it.
Yes, why but this not? One's the most popular.
Yeah, well, but I mean, we watched Top Chef, and... I mean, I love Top Chef, so I'm going to watch it regardless. But they could easily have a fantasy league.
Sure, but the Bachelor and Bachelorettes, or sorry, I should say just the Bachelor's ratings kill Top Chef.
But on top of that, aren't there 18 shows like Top Chef? Like just like it? Like one show they're making cupcakes, one there's Chopped. I mean, it's all just chefs cooking, competing against each other and eliminating them one by one, right?
But that's the gold standard of cooking competition shows.
That's over Chopped?
Yes. Well, Chopped's just a one episode thing. This is, you know, I love Top Chef. Now, I'm not watching the new Apprentice. Are you watching it, Robbie?
Of course.
Okay. Now, when there was this talk of what his catchphrase was going to be, and to me, the no-brainer, well, not no-brainer, because there are several choices, but the best choice by far would be "You won't be back."
Yeah, that's exactly what I guessed the catchphrase would be. You won't be back.
And that's not what it is it?
Yeah, it's "You're terminated," right?
That's way better.
No chance. What? No. "You won't be back" is way better. Also, "I'll be back" is said in every single Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. That is his catchphrase. There's only been three Terminator movies that he's been in, right?
And he's never said the words "you're terminated."
No, of course not. He's never said that. He said it in Twins. He said it in Kindergarten Cop. He said it in whatever, the movie where he's got Alyssa Milano captured by the guy who looks like Freddie Mercury. He says it in every single movie. "You won't be back" is clearly what it should have been.
Well, so you have "Hasta la vista, baby," "You're terminated," and "You won't be back." Those are the three choices, right?
Yeah, but even an "Hasta la vista, baby" isn't said in every single movie.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you had to pick three, those would be the three you choose from. And to me, "You won't be back," a play on "I'll be back," obviously, is the best choice. Marcus, you're saying Terminator? You're terminated?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And Robbie, where do you stand on this?
I prefer "You're terminated."
Jesus.
You do?
Really? I do.
What about "It's not the tumor"?
And he also says, he tags it sometimes. He'll go, "You're terminated. Now get to the chopper."
Right. Yeah, I don't like the tag. Well, we'll take it to a poll on the Rob and Joe Show Twitter. But
the reason you watched The Apprentice is not because of Donald Trump or because of Arnold Schwarzenegger. They actually have minor roles. It's because of they get the celebrities to fight and interact, and that's the funny part. And you find out who's an asshole and who's good, and it's interesting.
Who's an asshole?
John Lovett, your buddy's on there.
Is he an asshole?
No, he's been a little bit of a prick, and he has a little dog that he walks around with.
Yeah,
but I just have to say that Arnold is so stiff. He's not cut out for this. Everything he says is scripted. Donald Trump was so much better at the show.
Well, he's the president of the United States. Yeah. I mean, of course he's better.
I couldn't date a girl that carried around one of those little dogs.
Dude, that is so... I mean, is John Lovitz... Is he out?
Not as far as I know.
I mean, he can't be straight. I mean, I don't care. But, I mean, if you're carrying a little dog around, you're, you know... out already. You know what I mean?
I carry a little dog around.
Oh, that's right. You do that. Jeez.
You also carry a purse.
Yeah,
that's right.
And a Taiwanese woman. So I guess that
you know, Katie said to me the other day, maybe I shouldn't reveal this, but she said, did you ever think Robbie was gay? And I said, no. I mean, I didn't. Robbie liked girls his whole life. It never really dawned on me that he might be gay, but... Yeah, right. When you think about carrying the dogs and
love of karaoke brings his own CD.
Yep. Hanging out with your mother-in-law for 6 months. I mean, all that stuff is a very gay.
I heard that question, too, once after meeting Rob.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah, my wife asked.
She thought he was gay?
This guy, obviously, the guns. He's clearly trying.
Well, here's what's funny is he had his girlfriend with him, and she still asked.
He had his girlfriend with him at a handgun.
Yes, I used to get hit on all the time in Atlanta, the San Francisco of the South. When I lived in Atlanta, the San Francisco of the South, I used to always get hit on.
Were they black? Because a lot of gay black men in Atlanta.
No, they were white mostly, actually.
Oh, I'm loving the idea of a gay black man being into Robbie. That just seems like that's perfect.
Were you ever tempted?
Yeah.
No.
Were you, like, actually propositioned?
No. Just mainly it was just kind of flirting and, you know, that kind of thing.
How do they flirt with you?
Yeah.
They're coming over to the table a little bit too much if they're your waiter or they're, you know, just, you can tell.
They just gave you good service at a restaurant. They're not hitting on you. God. Look, I don't need any more water. This guy clearly wants to fuck me.
Listen, you know, Robbie, you got one shot. They better give you good service. Seriously, she won't go to Chick-fil-A because something bad happened to him 10 years ago.
Robbie, did you get the vibe that they thought you were a top or a bottom?
I didn't get into that deep with them.
Well, I mean, did you think were a lot of people that you perceived as tops hitting on you, or were they bottoms hitting you?
No, I'm going to guess we're talking about tops.
So they looked at you and said, that guy's a bottom.
They probably did.
That sounds about right.
How much do you think you can fit in your ass?
And I had a professor try to woo me one time.
What'd he say?
What?
He was whining and dining me.
Okay,
be more specific.
What subject?
It was a design class, history, a design history class. And I became his teaching assistant over the summer.
God.
Yes.
How'd you like to assist me with these balls?
Yeah. And how would you design this asshole?
And we'd go to lunch every day, and I was very innocent, and I thought he's just as being friendly. And then one day, a girlfriend and I were out with him because she was also friendly with him, and we were out with him, and in a bar, and he was rather drunk, which he was often drunk. He started saying, you know, she's really not what you're looking for. Like, he really started to get deep into it and say, hey, you know, I can see you're not really being true to yourself. And I'm like, listen, I said, I've always respected what you are. You need to respect what I am. And we never talked again after that.
Really? Once you wouldn't fuck him, he didn't talk to you anymore?
Yep.
Do you know his name?
I would not say his name. I don't even know if he's alive.
Can we get him on the show?
Yeah.
I could look him up. He was a well-known professional in his one particular area.
Did you say, look, even if I was gay, I'm not going to bang some old dude like you?
Yeah, that's what I should have said. Again, I was very naive at the time. It never occurred to me that he was trying to get at my pants.
Did it affect your grade?
No, because this happened after I was his teaching assistant.
Would you get an A as his teaching assistant?
No, it was you just got the credits for doing it. There was no grade involved.
An A for anal or a B for blowjob. What did you get, Bobby? What, have you ever been hit on that aggressively by a man, Joe?
I remember when I used to work in electronics, and there was a buyer at one of the contract manufacturers, and he was always alluding to, you know, yeah, well, I did this and both my nipples are pierced and I was at Rehoboth. And then one day I go, look, dude, I mean, you can just look. I mean, I know you're gay. I'm fine with it. You don't have to keep beating around the bush. That ended up being the biggest mistake in my life, because as soon as I said, look, dude, I don't care that you're gay, it's fine, all he would do is hit on me nonstop, talking about wanting to destroy my asshole and all the things he wanted to do to me.
Why would you want that to happen? I don't want any of my body destroyed.
Yeah, I don't want it to be harmed. I want it to be treated tenderly,
right,
like Robbie's professor would have done. But that's, I don't know that that counts, because I was married at the time. You know what I mean? It never was really on the table, but I think he was just having fun with it. And probably he spent all his life in the closet that he loved being able to talk about it.
I did a show. It was, I can't remember if it was Florida or North Carolina. It was someplace. There was a beach nearby. Some horrible road gig series of shows. And I remember I'm on stage. I'm doing pretty well. There's one big group of like 20. I don't know. I think they were some family vacation or something. And the guy who I thought was like a husband or something, I afterwards, he goes, hey, are you going to be hanging out later? I'm going, yeah, I'll probably be hanging out at the bar. He goes, all right, I'll come back down. I said, okay. Think nothing of it. Then he comes back down, and then he says, well, can we go to your room? I'm like, well, what do you think I agreed to? No, I'm just hanging out at the hotel bar. So I don't know what I had said in like some crowd work, but he had slipped away from his family to come down and fuck me.
Oh,
and
my, like, God, that's crazy.
I'm like, no, I didn't mean to give you the wrong idea. I'm hanging out after the show, which I do every show. Anyone's welcome to hang out in this public place with me. But it was super weird.
I think I told you that clearly not gay, Mike Anderson from 98 Rock. Right. We had to do when it snowed. Remember the blizzard? It was not the. It was a year ago in January.
Yeah,
and
you had to be bunkmates with him.
Yeah, well, no, he went up there and he said, "Yeah, do you mind? There's only a single bed." And I go, "Well, did you ask for two separate beds?" He goes, "Well, no." He goes, "They just offered me that." I go, "Really?" So I walked up. I go, "Hey, is there any room with two beds?" They go, "Yeah, sure. There's tons of them." And then I was like, "Well, why did you ask?" Again, another point, not to get too far off the gay subject, but...
yeah, we want to stay on the gay.
You know, I went to the Wolf Sanctuary, which I guess we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
but
let's talk about
it. We went to a hotel in Lancaster, PA, and when we go in there, we were an hour early. So I go in there and I said, hey, do you have any rooms available? We're early. They said, no, we don't. I said, all right. And we went and ate, and we came back at 3, and our room was ready.
Oh, so you didn't complain? You didn't write a letter?
Didn't complain. No letter. Was able to enjoy myself. Had a great time and a great stay in this hotel. Yeah, it was really, really fun.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. I ran into Louis C.K. Plus, Joe, you have a couple embarrassing accidental phone call text messages. Rob and Joe, she'll be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life. Sing for your life. Sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, February 4th at the Beer Baron Tavern in D.C. Tickets are on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Hey, before you start talking, if people hadn't listened to a prior episode where Robbie complained about not being able to get into a hotel early, that last comment is going to seem really unfunny. So make sure you go back and listen to about, what, 4 episodes ago, you think?
Yeah, in the last 2 months, probably, yeah.
Yes, it was about a month and a half ago.
Was that eating at you in that 5 seconds that you were thinking that?
Well, I'm sitting there thinking you didn't get it at first.
I didn't. Right.
Yeah, and so I'm like, well, if you don't get it, the listeners aren't. But you know what? I also sent out a tweet. I sent out a tweet, and you know how you said you had sent out a really funny tweet recently, and nobody got it, and you were bummed out. Well, I sent out a tweet, and it's my most liked tweet, but Katie said nobody's going to get it. You ready to hear it?
Let's see.
My most liked tweet in history. Here we go. Got to find it. Damn it.
Good way to set this up.
I guess you can just cut all this out.
That's what they like.
Just think how upset Dallas fans are going to be tonight if the Lakers lose too.
Yeah. see, I've had a similar tweet about that, but I thought my tweet was better.
What was
yours? Cowboy fans today, but we won the popular vote.
It is funny because I just heard that Ezekiel Elliott is the favorite in Vegas to win the MVP. Now, he's not going to win the MVP. Matt Ryan is. But people are going, well, no, because I go, no, that's because idiot Cowboy fans are putting money on it. That's exactly the reason that he's a favorite. Not because he's going to win it.
No.
Whatever.
Speaking of not getting things, I had another tweet or Facebook post that people did not get, and including former show announcer Tim Moran. Let's see if you guys get it. Whenever I have sex with my girlfriend, she yells BuzzFeed when she orgasms. Do you get that?
Whenever I have sex with my girlfriend, she yells BuzzFeed when she orgasms. Nope, I don't get it.
Wow. Okay, Robbie, Marcus?
No, sorry.
No, Jesus. Sorry.
Okay, well, I guess then I just assume that people knew the biggest story in the world last week, the Trump, the pissing.
Oh, out. Urinating on the, yeah,
and
the thing. Was
BuzzFeed
that released?
Released it, and then they were called fake news. The point of the joke is that my
making
girlfriend
an orgasm,
fakes orgasm.
I got you. Yeah. Oh, I got you. Okay, understood.
So, but then, like you guys, people like Tim goes, how do you know? You're probably not even in the room when that happens. I said, Tim, you're not understanding the joke. That you're now complimenting me. If you're saying I'm never in the room when she fakes, you're saying. So I'm the butt of this joke. So if you pile on or you act. So they were actually acting like I was saying I give my women orgasms. And when I'm really, I'm saying the opposite.
Well, let's
but
pile
I guess
on
got, none
Tim
of you
Moran.
Got the joke either.
So. Let's pile on Tim Moran real quick. I'm not supposed to give his last name. Tim, former show announcer Tim. We were watching the Cowboys Green Bay game, which was a great game, one of the great playoff games of all time, right? So the Cowboys ended up scoring a touchdown to go down by 2 points. I think it was 28-26 at the time.
Yes.
There was under 4 minutes left in the game, and Tim said to me, "Do you think they'll go for two?" He legitimately said to me, would they go for two or will they kick one and try to stop Green Bay and then get the ball back and drive the field and score a field goal?
It's if they don't go for two there, it is by far the worst coaching decision in the history of any sport.
If they don't go for two there, they'll probably fire the coach, right?
Yes,
they'll probably
absolutely.
Fire him. Like
yeah,
anybody
I,
that's
actually,
stupid.
If the coach said extra point, the players would revolt and they would actually line up and go for two.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
They'd be like,
that.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
They leave the field.
Right. What's he going to do? Stop them?
Well, that's why Tim will never be a NFL coach.
Oh, that's
I just fucking woke up, motherfucker.
So, you called me the other morning. You would be frantic that you had mistakenly called someone.
Oh, this is crazy. So, first of all, it's scary how much your iPhone hears when you're not really talking to it. Because, you know, Katie and I were going to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's the Wolf Sanctuary was right outside of that. Our hotel was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Now, there's a comic who I probably have spoken to on four occasions in my entire life, Larry Lancaster. We know each other.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say we're friends, but we're friendly. We know each other, but I've never called him on the telephone. He's never called me. I have his number in my phone. I don't even know why. So we were trying to find out some information about our trip. So she said, ask Siri. Now, I haven't asked Siri a question in 10 years.
Well, I don't think she's been around, but whatever.
It's 8 in the morning, okay? That's also important. And Larry Lancaster is a black man.
What does that mean?
Because they don't wake up at 8 in the morning.
Okay.
Not on Saturday.
new stereotype, completely unfounded. All right.
So I say to Siri, you know, what's the weather like? Whatever I was asking Siri, it starts. It doesn't call Larry Lancaster. It FaceTimes Larry Lancaster at 8 in the morning. Okay. It FaceTimes him. And I am panicking, right? Because I'm like, holy, what story am I going to say? I butt FaceTimed Larry Lancaster.
Oh, right. I'm trying to go to Lancaster, PA for this wolf sanctuary.
It's
the whitest thing ever that you're doing.
I had nothing to say, and I was hitting that red telephone as frantically as I possibly could. But what's funnier is that, let me see if I can find the time on this, because I actually screenshotted it and sent it to you. But at 3 o'clock that day, he said, hey, Joe, did you call me?
He just got up, maybe. That's to your point.
Yeah. And I said, an accident, right? He goes, oh, well, I feel special. Now I'm in a conversation with him. We actually talked for a little.
I want to tell this story. Do we name the person in the murder mystery that this happened to, or is it going to?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I guess we got to, right? I feel bad about it.
RJ Jackson. You've known from this show for many reasons. Joe stole his fiance. He, as well as being in some of our murder mysteries, he shoots video and does some video work for us and editing and stuff. So he's shot a few of our shows over the years, and we've been waiting. He's putting together a promo video to help us, you know, get into new venues. And so he finally sends it to Joe and I on Facebook. And Joe didn't see it because he's not on Facebook anymore for whatever reason. And so I see it, but I'd forgotten that you weren't even looking at it. So it's what he did is it's good quality work, but it's not what we're looking for at all. Basically, it's the vibe, the tone of it. It's kind of the opposite of what I want and what you want. So I messaged you. I said, you know, I bet that I didn't really care for it. And then you messaged what you thought was me back, but really you messaged RJ, but you messaged him.
Yeah, it was
what
bad.
You said to him was if you were talking to me.
Yeah, here's what I said. I go, so he said, not sure if you're on Facebook, but I sent this out yesterday. It was almost at the exact same time. And I didn't really, I had already seen your version of it, and I responded to him, I just watch it. What's the issue? That it's all over the place, that the F word's used in it, that it reveals too much, that it doesn't tell what our show is about, that it uses a song no one ever heard of. So I'm shitting on it. But, you know, I mean, I don't want – he did a lot of work. And it's – again, it's – I don't want to say that it's a horrible product, but it's really just not kind of what we're looking for. But, of course, I would have put it 1,000 times more delicately. I think I would have rather – FaceTimed Larry Lancaster again the next morning that have sent this message, you know, to somebody who had worked so hard on that. But yeah,
because what he did is it's well done. It's good work. It's just not what we wanted. It's much more geared toward 22-year-old guys and not, you know, date nights. And it's completely against what I feel like our brand is trying to be. But now that you just shit on him, he'll probably never do the work. So good job, Joe.
No. We need to get with him and let him know what we're really looking for. You know what? He took an approach without our feedback. I think that's, you know.
We set him up to fail. We didn't give him enough guidelines, and that's our fault, RJ. Sorry.
We should have taken more initiative in, you know. But, yeah, I do feel bad about sending that to him. And then, of course, I was like, oh, I thought Rob talked to you, which was a lie. I knew you hadn't talked to him. I just was revealing. Yeah. Anyway, it's just bad.
So I had a couple cool things this week. Some shows in D.C. Went back on the morning Channel 9, USA 9 morning show, Great Day Washington, to promote this show that I did Friday night, this charity show. And Lafayette Wright, the other comic, was on the show. He also was on the Heart of the City with me. So we show up there. And I've been on there a couple times, and they all know me there, and I sort of have a friendship, and it's a fun vibe, so I like going on there. But we're the, you know, the beginning of the show, just they just have a little bullshit, shoot the shit, sitting at the couch, and then the weather or something. And then we're the basically the third segment, the second segment, and they're interviewing this guy who has a Medal of Honor winner. And he goes up, and this is literally the story he tells. He was in Afghanistan. He was on security detail. He notices a guy walking backwards, and he thought that was suspicious. He confronts the guy. The guy has a suicide vest on. He wrestles, tackles him to the ground, tells people to run away. The vest, it explodes. Somehow he lives, but like three people die, but he's in Walter Reed for 3 years. Now they're showing video of Obama putting the Congressional Medal of Honor or whatever thing around his neck. That's the interview that we're following.
Oh, my God. Why did you just leave?
Well, do they know you're also a war hero, Rob?
I have. Eric, the actor, thinks so.
That was for you, Eric, if you're listening out there.
I got that joke. So Lafayette leans over to me, and we have a similar, you know, sensibilities about the. He goes, we are going to talk about how we have to follow this hero. And I said, absolutely. So we end up having a really funny segment, and I put it up on my website, robmer.com, if you want to check it out. But it was just funny that we had to follow that. Then the show that we were there promoting, which is this charity show for, like, these kids in the arts that are, like, gifted, that are, like, in this case, they're jazz musicians. It was some 9-year-old, this Hispanic blind jazz prodigy pianist. And I have to follow this kid. He's up there. He's just freaking on the piano. He is amazing. He's doing crowd work. They love him. He's adorable. And he's blind, obviously. They're going to like him. They're going to root for him. Then I'm up there. Got to talk about my girlfriend. So it was like we kept putting these weird situations where we're following.
How'd
people.
You do?
I ended up having a great show, but it's not as funny to say that. there was actually a buffer. There was another comedian in front of me. So he got the, you know. He had to go through that. Then I got to go up when he was done, and I actually had a good spot. So it ended up being a good show, but it was just funny that we had to follow these things. And then Thursday night, I'm hanging out in D.C. I go to the Improv at the open mic, and then there's a couple shows around town. I end up at the Big Hunt, and in drops Louis C.K. And there were rumors he was going to show up because – his opener, he was in town at the Constitution Hall doing some shows, I think recording a new special, and he shows up. It's packed. It's the same venue where they shot Heart of the City, if you saw that, so it's not a small room, but it's, you know, a standing room only. And you just got to watch him just sit back. He's got notes. He walked on stage. It was super cool that he's just up there just kind of fucking around, but he has this thing with, like, someone banging your mom. Because I've seen him do this before where he'll just go on stage and he goes, hey, I banged all of your moms. But but this night he goes, what if somebody right now was fucking all of our moms? One guy. It's just funny, right? Yeah. One guy. I've never seen our moms. And you want your mom to get fucked, right? I mean, that feels good. So he's fucking around. And you can tell some of these jokes are, like, you know, they're just sort of like halfway done. But that what's made it cool for me. But he had some really funny stuff that I think is going to be, when he really gets it tight, it's going to be top shelf shit. Like he started telling a joke about how he used to watch hockey growing up and they didn't wear helmets. And then they made the rule where they had to wear a helmet. But if you didn't want to wear it, you didn't have to. So, but if you were new, then you had to wear the helmet. So they sort of grandfathered that thing in. And that's what I think they should do with homophobia. Because I love to say, and then he just keeps saying faggot. So
like
I think
Eric Woodworth.
Right. And then he told a joke about how women, sometimes they make noise during sex. It doesn't mean that they're liking it. They're just good at making a face when they're uncomfortable to make it seem like they're comfortable. And sometimes women's moaning is like slaves, Negro spirituals. They're not singing because they're having fun. They're just trying to get through it. And so he had these really, like,
how much time did he do?
He did like 15 minutes. It's funny when he told the hockey thing, some guy yelled out some player's name that you've never heard of. And he's like, okay, why did you do that? He goes, well, I'm happy that I did. It was such a weird response. He's like, okay, you're happy that you just named out Phil, you know, McClonsky, you know. But it was a cool vibe. It was just cool to see him drop.
I would have loved to have been there. I love seeing comics just try new shit. Jim Gaffigan, when he does the improv, you know, when he's touring and he goes in and does it one night at the improv, he always does that at the end. He'll pull out a sheet of paper and start trying new shit. I love that.
You know what's strange, though, is that do you really learn? I remember watching that documentary Comedian with Jerry Seinfeld, where he was basically just going back to start doing stand-up. And there was this time where he forgot his joke. And he's like, I don't even remember what I was talking about. And everybody starts laughing. He goes, I literally cannot remember the joke. And everybody starts laughing. He goes, I guess I'll just go on to the next one. Everybody's laughing. I'm like, well, that's not the real world. You earn that. You know what I mean? People aren't going to laugh. And I'm just wondering, you know, it's probably hard to figure out sometimes what works because people are probably just giving it up. You know what I mean? Now, obviously, you know, you watch a Louis C.K. special, you're like, wow, that stuff. Usually it's pretty brilliant. I'm not acting like, you know, he's just mailing it in. But I think about, like, the last Carlin special on HBO. They were just almost unwatchable.
Yeah.
But people were just, you know, giving it up all over themselves because the guys had 17 before that were brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, it is a totally different vibe when or animal when you're going up there like we are and you're a stranger to them. Versus if he could just throw out a premise, people will start laughing because they can already sort of envision where he might go with that, or they know his voice. So it's just funny for him just throwing out there. Have you ever fucked a cake? They're going to laugh. They're going to be like, no.
Louis C.K. was playing the Baltimore Comedy Factory. This was over 10 years ago. And matter of fact, Dan Tracy was still the manager. I know we're using some inside names. Sorry about that. But that's how long ago this was. So it was probably
Dan
like
Tracy once had homeless people entered into the funniest person in Baltimore contest.
So this is well over 10 years ago. And Louis C.K. is there opening for him from the More Network, Mickey Coachella. And also mentioned on this show, he works for DC Improv. Chris White was the MC. That's who was there that weekend. And I said to my friends, Sean Conlon and Ken Kinsicki, you got to see this guy. They fought me tooth and nail. And I forced them to go see Louis C.K. And, of course, they fell in love with him, and they've been following his career ever since. But, yeah, I think that was about 12 years ago.
Yeah, I saw him at the D.C. Improv probably with Todd Moore about 7 or 8 years ago.
Was Mickey Coachella on that show?
It was not on that show. But, you know, the first time I was ever at the D.C. Improv, Mickey Coachella was the feature.
Really?
Yeah.
First time you told me that Paulie Shore was the headliner, right?
No, I think it was Bobby Slayton. I want to say it's Bobby Slayton. This girl, Marby, that I was seeing at the time, or no, eventually I was dating her. I don't know if I was at the time. Can't remember. But she was the MC. And yeah, that was my first time at the improv. I was at the improv for the DC Improv Live, Sirius XM. We recorded this show that will air parts of it, at least, on Sirius XM. So look for that. I'm not sure when that will come out. It'll be called DC Improv Live. It was 10 comics, really good lineup, sold-out show. Really, really fun show. So Todd Moore and the lovely lady came out. And Dr. Gill. Remember who Dr. Gill is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the guy. Didn't you teach him? Wasn't he on Funny for Five with you?
No, he wasn't, but he should have been, but he did pay me to help him with his comedy. Then he went to an open mic, and he's good friends with Todd. He's he was also at the party here, for the Art of the City party. He's a plastic surgeon. But anyway, this is for the radio, so I'm not, you know, you wouldn't think you would do crowd work, right? So I opened my set with talking about how I just moved in with my girlfriend, which isn't technically true, but for this bit, I'm saying that. And I hear someone in the back go, "Woohoo!" And I'm like, what? So then I acknowledge it. Like, well, you don't know her. It's a horrible idea. That gets a laugh. But then later I realize that's where he was sitting. So like why is he yelling that out? Because I don't want to interject crowd work into this bit that's for the radio, right?
So this was Dr. Gill ruining your set?
Well, I mean, who else would yell, would be so excited that I moved in with my girlfriend?
Clearly not your girlfriend.
But I mean, but who why would a stranger in the audience be happy about that?
Well, at the end, did you say, why did you yell out and ruin my set?
Then I would. Oh, you mean when I talked to him? No, because I didn't even think about it until later. I was like, wait a minute, that it came from where they were sitting. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't really care. But it is funny that. I acknowledge that. So if that bit is on the air, then I don't know if they're going to how well the audio of him yelling is. It's maybe that bit's not even usable now because of that. I don't know.
Yeah, you might be cut from the show entirely.
Yeah, so fuck you, Dr. Gill. Let's take a break. We'll come back and who knows, talk about what. Oh, the Wolf Sanctuary. I have questions. Rob and Joshua, be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So this continuing wolf theme with you, we've had the shirts. I don't know, do you have a mug? Do you have any other wolf?
I have a fleece, I have a pen, I have an iPhone case, I have a blanket, I have a wolf hat.
Yeah, you have a baseball card.
I have wolf everything. But one thing that I had not done yet is go see live wolves. Now I may have seen them at the zoo, but I don't remember. But there is a wolf sanctuary. We talked about it, I think it was an episode ago. It's in Lititz. I think it's Lititz, Pennsylvania, and there are 46 wolves that are rescued.
And I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
Well, that means that they were probably, you know, either their pack had, you know, were in danger, or they were found injured, or somebody had tried to domesticate them or something like that. And now here they are in the sanctuary. There's 46 of them. And these things that now, obviously, when you imagine going up and seeing these, you're like, well, I hope I get to pet one. You know, I hope I get to, you know, Jon Snow it and run around with them or whatever. But you're not allowed to get near these things. They'll fucking eat you. You know, I mean, that's the thing you don't realize because they look like dogs. But, you know, their bite is twice of what a dog is.
What do they feed them?
That's good. I'm glad you asked. So in order to get them to come out, they give them a snack when there's people there. And they have to give them meat with bones in it. And they eat these fucking things like it's a baked Lay's. They just crush right through it like it's nothing. Now, when they're out, they will just. Now, by the way, if you're 16 or under, if you're under 16, you're not allowed to go there. Because if it sees something like the size of a child, it'll try to get to it. Now it can't because there's a fence there, but they don't want these things all riled up.
Well, how high is the fence? I mean, are you in any fear that they're gonna it can leap over it?
No, the fence is you know more than 10 feet high.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably 20 feet high. I mean, now that I think about it, it might even be enclosed, but it's super high. No, they can't get to you. But it's cool. It was cool to hear them howl. And you know you are 3 feet away from them, but these things they're ferocious. They had this one story they told where there's like this little 2 foot to like 3 foot area where the people that feed them they walk in between, and they said what they do is when they're trying to integrate a pup into the herd, they let it live in that area, and they do that for several months. So the pack they're like, okay, this guy's one of us. Well, they said they did that for about 7 months. They let the pup in. Immediately, they try to kill it. They had to put it somewhere else. Yeah, these things are ferocious. Now, we go, and there was a big bonfire there, right? And we looked at the wolves. We looked at them for like an hour and a half. I mean, they're beautiful. It's cool to be there. But eventually, it was freezing cold, and it was a little drizzly, so we had to go to the bonfire. And what we have, you can bring your own s'mores there. So I have this retractable you know, s'more stick or you know, something you put hot dogs on. What do you call it? You know, a stick that you put into the fire.
Right. It holds it. Like a
It holds the marshmallows, holds the wieners, whatever you want to put on.
Sure.
Well, I go over to the fence after I had eaten my s'more, and I'm standing there, and the guy yells at me. He's like, hey, no selfie sticks. Well, first of all, I felt like idiot. I'm not going to use a selfie stick. That's what bothered me the most, that this guy thought I had a selfie stick. But then I was grateful because if he knew what it really was, I mean, it's a weapon. You know what I mean? What am I going to try to gouge these wolves with it? So we go back, and this kind of shit only happens to us. There's probably, I don't know, maybe 70 people there. And there's all kinds of people. There's young and old and, you know, and nerds and people that were cool that we met. I mean, there's all kinds. But remember, everybody's brings s'mores. Now, when you bring s'mores, you don't bring, you know, 6 graham crackers. You know, you buy a whole box of them. Sure. You don't bring 8 marshmallows. You bring a whole bag of them. So we just have all these extra s'mores, right? So there are these people behind us, and they, I guess, got there a little bit late, and they're setting up. I go, hey, guys, you know, we have extra s'mores if you want some of our s'mores. You know, we're just going to throw it out or whatever. They're like, oh, yeah, thanks. Katie's like, hey, okay, here's the sticks. They go, we're setting up right now. Can you give us a minute? Well, now they're being dicks, okay? So, of course, I didn't hear that. So I start offering them the sticks. And Katie's like, hey, don't offer them the sticks, right? They're already mad at us for trying to give us these sticks. Well, now I fucking hate the people behind us. And now I'm probably done looking at wolves at this point. But we were like, you ready to go? And the main reason I wanted to go was because of these dicks.
they ruined it for you.
Now sure that's happened to you before at the sporting event or at a movie theater. You know, something awkward happens between you and another patron, and now you're there.
Yeah.
And so, it didn't ruin the experience. It was a wonderful experience, and I would go back, and I will go back, but I don't fucking like these people. I hate these people. All right, there is a way to say, oh, my God, that's so nice of you. Let us set up. We are more than, you know, why are you being a dick?
Yeah,
you
can it's even real say, you easy to do that.
Oh, we don't want it. Oh, I fucking hate these people. And I don't like that they like wolves. I wish they liked some other animal, not the animal I like.
Do these wolves ever attack each other? I know you mentioned the young one, but do they fight?
Now, I didn't see any, but they definitely fight. They told a pretty cool story. There's one alpha male, and this alpha male went to the vet, and he never came back. Okay? This pack has been waiting 8 years for the alpha male to come back, meaning they'll throw, like, roadkill in there. Like, they'll find a deer on the side of the road. One of the volunteers will put it in their truck, throw it over the fence. got these things to eat, but they'll wait because the alpha eats first. And as soon as they're like, well, I guess he's not coming, and then they'll start eating. They've been doing this now for 8 years. I mean, so they're not smart. I mean, they got to understand this.
How long do they live?
So they don't, in the wild, they only live like 5 or 6 years because, you know, when they're ferocious animals. So, you know, once they get frail or older or whatever, you know, somebody will take a piece out of them. But on these, you know, in these sanctuaries, they'll live 15, 16 years. We saw one, he was blind. His name was Thor. And he was like,
did he play jazz piano?
17 years old. And he had it was pretty sad. He had an old lady that lived in there with him. Of course, she went to the vet and never came back. So they said the only thing they can stick in there with him is another old female wolf. You can't, there's nothing else they can put in there. So this guy's got to live out the rest of his life alone. Thor, the old wolf.
So do they hook up? They have sex and stuff?
They're neutered and spayed. So, yeah, they fix them to make sure that there's no pups. It's too, you know, trank these things, take the pups out, you know.
So what's the next step then for your wolf fascination?
I mean, I guess a tattoo, maybe a nickname.
Are you telling me that a tattoo is really in order? I mean, is that possible?
I wouldn't say it's impossible.
Would you get, because I think, why don't you get a tattoo of Winston Wolf from Pulp Fiction?
I was thinking about that. I mean, not about the tattoo, but I'm like, you know, I mean, other than Blitzer, I guess Winston is the most famous wolf, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool.
Maybe if people started calling me Winston, I'd like that. You know, Todd Leatherberry.
Not going to call you Winston. Shut the hell up.
Todd, I'm like George Costanza, creating my own nickname. By the way, I also have wolf underwear. I don't know if I mentioned that.
What does that entail? What is there, like a nose where your dick's supposed to
be? That's exactly right. Yes. But anyway, let me tell the story. Todd Leatherberry was in, when he lived in L.A., he was in a clothing store, and he saw Harvey Keitel waiting for somebody who was trying on clothes.
Yeah.
And he goes, I can't believe it. The wolf is sitting here waiting. And he said, you know what? When it comes to beautiful women, even the wolf has to wait. A fucking great quote, right?
That's pretty cool, yeah. That's all I need. That's all I need to love him forever, is that movie and that real life story.
He's great.
I want to double back to something we talked about earlier about the Schwarzenegger, the apprentice, the firing, the line. Well, let's take other famous actors or actresses, doesn't matter, and put them in that role and guess what their line would be.
All right.
You want to? All right. What about De Niro?
De Niro, what's his be? Yeah, I'm walking. No, that's Dustin Hoffman.
You looking at me?
You looking at me? Yeah, it's you looking at me would be it.
You're no longer looking at me.
Yeah, you're no longer looking at me.
All
and
right.
Then you got, what's another big line from him? A little bit you did from Goodfellas. But I guess, yeah, you talking to me? Yeah, that's the big line.
All right, what about Pacino?
Pacino is probably hoo-ah, the scent of a woman thing, right? Every time I get out, they pull me back in.
Yeah, maybe he just shuts the door.
Every time you get out, you don't get pulled back in, and then I don't know.
Say goodbye to my little friend.
Say goodbye to my little friend. That's a pretty good one. What about Do I Feel Lucky Today? Clint Eastwood.
Okay. Go ahead, make my day and get out of here. I don't know.
Oh, man, bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
What about Sylvester Stallone? Adrian is the big line, is his most famous line, right?
What about in First Blood? Doesn't he have a great line? Doesn't he have it when he's talking on the the walkie-talkie?
First Blood is the line that he says to Richard Crenna and what's the other guy, Robbie?
Ryan Dennehy?
Yeah. That's it.
They drew first blood!
There was a better line than that, though, that would fit. Feel free to throw one out. That's why I look it up.
What about Tom Hanks? Maybe a Forrest Gump? Life is like a box of chocolates.
Life is like a box of chocolates. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it had to be Forrest Gump, right?
Well, what is there anything in Castaway? Anything in Big? Anything?
Well, yeah, it's the Wilson is the big line in Castaway.
Yeah, you go hang with Wilson.
You float away.
Yeah. All right. What about Tom Cruise?
Huh. I guess it'd be. Is there something from Risky Business? Is there something from?
You got the Top Gun.
Yeah, I got a Need for Speed. I mean,
this bit is going over really well.
Yeah, we can't think of anything.
I thought it'd be better if we just came up with ones. What about Jerry Maguire? Something in there?
Yeah, you complete me. Now leave. You don't complete me. You incomplete don't complete me.
Fuck you, Marcus. This bit is back, baby.
Wait a minute. Is it you had me at hello? It's you had me at goodbye. Gone.
All right. What about Bill Murray?
I don't know that he's somebody that has. I mean, would it be from like Caddyshack, the Dalai Lama?
Cinderella Story.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
So I got that going for me. Now get the fuck out of here. What about Nicholson? What about, is it You Can't Handle the Truth?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to get Jack Nicholson to do this shit show.
Look, none of this is going to happen. the show's canceled after this.
No question it's going to be canceled. Nobody's watching it.
Who's the biggest actor they could get? I mean, I thought Arnold was a pretty big name. Could they get anybody bigger than him? They couldn't have, right? I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger is an A-list celebrity.
Barack Obama's not doing anything.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to get Barack Obama.
What about Will Ferrell? What would he say?
I don't know that he has an iconic line, although, what is it, like a Frank the Tank kind of thing?
I mean, sure he has an iconic line. He has to.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, I thought this would go better when I thought of it, but you guys didn't step up.
But we're still going. What do you mean? I thought of like 17 lines.
I mean, you just they're not fitting, though. I mean, it has to
more to do with the actor's line, what he's supposed to do. They are what they are. I mean, you understand that Sylvester Stallone's signature line is Adrian. What do you want to do with that? Adrian, you're fired? every apprentice is named Adrian. It's Adrian Barbeau, Adrian Brody.
What if
I don't know any other Adrians.
You no longer have the eye of the tiger.
Wow, that's bad.
Yep, I think it's Sinbad. I think he's not doing anything.
What's his line?
Sinbad is clearly not bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But he wasn't he a Jingle All the Way with Arnold?
What about Billy Bob Thornton? Do we have something from Sling Blade? Bad Santa?
Well, the big thing for Sling Blade is that you could say you're fired.
What about Samuel Jackson? Gotta have motherfucker.
That's going to be
the Ezekiel
something from
speech.
Either, or at the very end when he's talking to the guy in the diner. But the other thing is, what about from A Time to Kill when he's like, yeah, they deserve to die and I hope to burn in hell. That was a big line.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Nothing. Yeah. What about get these snakes off my plane, some play on that.
Oh, wow. He's been in a lot of movies, but I can't imagine snakes on a plane is one of his signatures.
what would Dan Ninen's line be?
It'd probably be something that he took from another actor. I'll be back, I guess, is what it'll be.
Oh, God. I wish there was
something that he took from a child star. What you talking about, Willis?
You're probably wondering what race I am. Now get the fuck out of here.
Hey, you can,
we'll wander on the other side of the door.
Yeah. Go wonder what race I am in this Tesla ride home. I'm 33. All right. That's the show. I thought this show started off better than a normal.
That's okay. The problem that we have is a lot of times the shows start off slow and then we just kill it at the end. And I'm like, I wonder if people wrote it out. This one, they wrote it out to the end. Sorry, what can we tell you? We ran out of material.
Right. We've never had a complete show. We've never had one where every segment was good. One day.
Hey, we should tease what we're doing with the guys from the Isle of Man, right?
Well, we think he's coming on. Yeah. Oh, by the way, shout out to Michael Marisha. We were on this past week. We had a really good time. Got a lot of good feedback from all the listeners, so we appreciate that. And they're going to be running our Patreon ad. I recorded a couple promos without you, Joe, and Oscar and Rob Spiewak did their impressions of you on the promos.
Oh, was it funny?
Well, I just ended up shitting on you, so yeah, they'll be hilarious.
No, I'm confident enough in myself that doesn't bother me. Hey, should we
some
do that interview with the Isle of Man guys on as a bonus or no?
No, we need to have that for the masses. So we can tweet it out to all the Isle of Manners and they can.
What about Scott Apple versus Katie's, the girl she works with?
I want people to hear that, though. You know, we'll cross that bridge.
It has to mean something, right? I mean, you have to want to consume it. I don't want to screw over every loyal listener by saying you got to pay us $5. I get that. But I mean, I want to save something good for this bonus show that you. You know what I mean? Something special, I mean.
Yeah. Well, the
patrons got
bonus,
to see that picture, that Gramps picture.
The Gramps picture is up on the Patreon. Again, patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. We have about 40 patrons now. It's growing every week, so it's doing well.
I have a feeling that the people who sign up for Patreon are not happy that they're seeing Nick Graham's picture. They don't consider that a bonus.
No, they paid $5 to vomit.
Yeah, they got the money's worth with that. Well, how do you want to do the Scott Apple versus this girl? Do you want to do, like, name... Is it like a name that tune? Where you...
Same thing we always do. We mix it up, you know? You say, you know... Right. The blank Miller Band, and Scott says Frank. You know what I mean? Things like that. Just regular low-hanging fruit trivia that everyone should know that these guys don't, so we can laugh at their expense. Simple.
And we alternate it, and if one doesn't get it, the other one gets a chance to steal. But probably neither one will get it.
Can we give the girl, can we play Imagine and say it's by John Blank, and she says Legend?
Yeah. I mean, of course we can do that, and she will say Legend.
I can't wait. All right, that's the show. I'll be in the Richmond Funny Bone this Wednesday and Thursday, hanging out with the Rooters. We'll shit on Marcus. It'll be a good time. We got some murder mysteries coming up. Just go to dielaughingproductions.com. February is coming together, back at the Brightbacks, back at McGoobies, and in D.C., the Beer Baron, new venue. Check it out, dielaughingproductions.com. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.